It's Thursday, October 30th, 2008, and you're watching Endpoint TV.
Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Richard Blewett. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, so tell me about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do?
I'm Richard Blewett. I'm the CTO of Developmenter. I'm based in the UK, in Bristol, so I do a lot of transatlantic flying.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Love those long trips, huh?
Yeah, it's brutal.
So Developmentor, big training company. You guys have been doing fantastic work for many years.
Yeah, I think we've been going since 93 now, so yeah, a long time.
Wow. I know. I've taken many Developmentor classes. Actually, it's kind of funny. When .NET was first being developed, and I was a PM, and I was working on .NET, right? I was part of doing system enterprise services. You guys had a class here for all of us.
Oh, wow, was that the one with 150 people on it?
Yes, and I was in that class because, awesome. You know, even though you knew your part of the framework really well, you didn't know, like, the other guy's part.
It was a big effort.
Yeah. So it was really cool to kind of, you know, and it was a fantastic class because it was one where, you know, I think it was Don and Chris were instructing, and they would say something, and then whoever was the expert in the room on their thing would be like, nope, not quite right. You know, it's actually this way. But
I think we had something like 9 instructors on that one as well. It was mad.
It was really fun. Yeah. Okay, so we brought you in this week because, you know, we want you guys to be ahead of the game when it comes to all this new stuff we're announcing at PDC. Mm-hmm. And so you've had a chance to kind of see about the new .NET 4 stuff with WCF and WF, Oslo, repository, Dublin. What's your impression of this whole thing?
I think you have to look at each bit separately to a degree, because I think they all stand alone very comfortably. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of time teaching all the CSD stack, really. So I teach WF, WCF, I teach BizTalk, and so that whole world has been pretty much where I've lived for quite a few years. So I was quite aware of all the warts on WF, frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like things were just hard to do.
Right.
It all felt very nice. You know, you got these nice drag and drop and set properties. But if you try to do anything custom with activities, you know, seriously, then it's hard. Especially once you try to do async, because different container activities just treat you differently as, you know, a child activity. So seeing the remodeling of that sort of infrastructure and how clear the sort of data transfer was around different parts of the workflow was, you know, a much, much cleaner model. And the whole asynchronous model, if I want to go asynchronous, it's actually relatively straightforward now to do, instead of having to know all various arcane rules about particular interfaces and when particular methods might be called in what circumstances.
Yeah.
So that's a lot clearer. The runtime itself, I mean, they were claiming some remarkable performance increases. I didn't get a chance to really push it during the time I spent so far. I mean, I'm going to be, in the run-up to PDC, I'm going to be hammering this really see how justified those claims are. But, you know, like up to 100 times faster for some particular kinds of things like the WAN activity. That's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And things like the persistence footprint is tiny compared to what it was, just the way they remodeled the runtime. So I really was pleased to see kind of that infrastructure, and I obviously want to verify that it does actually do what I think they were saying, but it looks really impressive. So that's one thing. And also the whole service integration stuff is very nicely contained. The fact that creating XAML-only workflows, it's pretty hard not to do that now, let alone sort of everything is really tuned to creating XAML-only workflows, which makes deployment a far, far more flexible things like, you know, you can put your workflow in the database now and just load it from the database or the file system or wherever it may be, because it's just text. I think that's really great. But the other thing that was woefully missing in workflow was the fact you always had to write your own host. And so when you start talking to someone about workflow, they go, hey, this is all nice drag and drop and that sort of thing. And then when you break the news to them, they've got to write this actually fairly complex bit of software every single time they have a workflow to host a thing. And so they go, ooh, I'm not sure about that. And so Dublin is fantastic. It's as an infrastructure to basically say, sort of, just drop my XAML file and boof, up it comes. Up comes my my workload running, and my service endpoints are there.
Yeah.
And it handles sort of configuration persistence. There's a whole management infrastructure into there. There's a reporting infrastructure. The tracking sort of reporting is brilliant. It's very, very sort of feels very much like sort of the BizTalk manageability that I kind of got used to and was really lacking in WF and WCF. So, yeah, I mean, those two sort of work closely together. As I said, I think they stand on their own as well.
So, you know, I think to some people there's going to be a little bit of a controversy in this decision to kind of start over, if you will, with workflow, yeah. You know. But do you think, was it the right call?
Looking at what problems they needed to solve, I'm not sure they could have tinkered around with what they had and really done it successfully. Mm. I think considering, well, it has to be frank, a relatively low adoption rate so far of WF, the sort of the collateral damage of the decision is constrained. If it had huge adoption, I don't think it would have been a viable option.
Right.
And but partly sort of the smaller adoption so far of it has been driven by the fact there were tangible problems they needed to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's the right call, but it's they've got to get the interop story and the upgrade story a lot sort of smoother than it currently is. It's there, but I think more work needs to be done. You know, we should be able to take at least a reasonable class of people's custom activities and have some way of bringing them cleanly into the new world. I mean, there is a solution at the moment to wrap them,
mm-hmm.
but I think, it, you know, if people want to take this as an ongoing code base of these custom activities, it needs an upgrade path as well, mm. and that needs fleshing out, I think, so really sort of, you know, some people have invested a lot of work in the frameworks they've built up around WF so far.
Yeah, but I think my impression is that if you've been in the business of writing custom activities, in the old model, it kind of forced you to write a lot of stuff that you just don't have to write anymore. So maybe the process of migrating to the new model is shedding a lot of this code that you don't need anymore and kind of focusing in on just the core value of what your activity does.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. And if people have managed to keep separated the plumbing bits from the actual business value of that activity, then hopefully the port should be reasonably clean.
Yeah.
But it depends on whether they wrote them that way. And there was no prescriptive guidance to say, well, you write them this way because we're going to change the whole infrastructure under your feet. So I have a feeling people will have weaved their business logic in with the plumbing that it was required to some degree.
Well, the other thing I think was really interesting is the ability of a workflow to kind of connect to its environment in 3.5 was very, very limited. You know, you kind of had to use the external data exchange service or messaging activities, and it just felt very complicated to try to reach in and touch into the workflow from outside or vice versa. Whereas in the new workflow model, it feels a lot more well integrated into the world. You know, it has better messaging support, mm-hmm. and the expressions allow me to kind of just call into a static method of something I want to use if I want to use it that way?
Certainly it looks like the need to do anything reasonably interesting with custom activities, you pretty much had to have an accompanying workflow runtime service there as well that you wrote
mm-hmm.
To handle the communication, sort of bridging that to the activity in the outside world. And that doesn't appear to be the case anymore. I said I need to do more digging around really, but it seems that separation, even though the equivalent of workflow runtime services called extensions are still there, the need to actually write them seems a lot less.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, like with WCF bringing in the sort of the local channel, you know, the high performance in memory sort of channel, I think that's going to make a huge difference in saying, well, actually, I don't need to write this bridging software to the outside because I have a uniform bridge in the form of a messaging activities, and just using a very lightweight channel infrastructure with WCF, I think that's going to be big as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now the kind of meta issue, though, is people say, oh, come on, I like to write code. You know, you want me to draw with these pictures and all this kind of stuff. I mean, why models? Why declarative? What do you think that's going to be a big challenge here?
Anyone who's worked with WF so far or comes from the BizTalk world, I think you quickly realize there's a huge amount of value in being able to state your intention clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that's unambiguous. Trying to read through sort of reams of basically procedural code to understand what the intention of the code is actually, you know, quite hard work. And if you look at C# as a language, for example, it's, you know, over time, it's got more and more constructs that enable you to state your intention. So, for example, things like anonymous methods. It was very clear that, you know, I'm stating my intention that this piece of code has this specific usage here, rather than having to generate another method, which is reason for being could be ambiguous. And I think declaratively declaring functionality is just an extension and, you know, taking that another degree further. So if you look at sort of workflow, the fact you can do it declaratively means it's fairly easy to render me a picture of what's actually taking place and be able to share that with other people to say, like, this is what, you know, the function I'm intending doing, rather than trying to show them reams of code, which is, you know, for anyone who isn't a developer for a start, is just meaningless.
Well, in fact, if you and I were to sit down and you're going to explain to me what your code does, you'd go straight to the whiteboard and start drawing the picture, right?
I draw what happens. Yeah. And the brilliant thing about workflow has always been that it's not like I draw the diagram, then translate that into code. The diagram is the code.
Yes.
And that is the fundamental sort of the model-based approach, basically. The, you know, this DSL for describing sort of data flow and functionality flow. And so taking that sort of like further and deepening that and extending where that sort of that works is used, I think, is a really sort of big deal. Now, of course, I think at one level, programmers like writing code. They like writing text. Mm. I think there's, you know, some people are very comfortable dragging and dropping and setting property sheets and stuff like that. But it's a whole, particularly people, I think, who came originally from like the C++ background, and so, you know, their world was just, you know, burning out code. They're very used to working with text.
Yeah.
And one of the issues, I guess, is to get wide adoption of WebF, then people have to either get, you know, change the way they work. And it was a real shock to my system when I first started working with BizTalk, and I wasn't writing any code. I was dragging and dropping into various graphical tools,
yeah,
and it was sorting the code out behind the scenes for me. I mean, that was, you know, a very strange experience, you know, one that you get used to. But to get, you know, a reasonable adoption and a reasonably rapid adoption, I think we need other ways of creating these models, if you like, other than graphically creating them. Graphically certainly has a big role, but I think we have a need to be able to do it textually as well. And I think that's really where M comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's suddenly you've got a language that allows you to have a way of textually creating models of some sort. Now, they may be models of data structures. They might be models of workflows, because the brilliant thing about M is it allows you to create DSLs.
Mm.
And DSLs were tuned for whichever domain, obviously, you're trying to model. And so you can imagine very easily, although there isn't one currently out of the box in the bits I saw, a DSL for creating workflows, which very easily you textually just write it, and then you flip to the graphical view, and there it is for anyone else to see. But you kind of author it in text,
because
yeah, people are used to typing, and, you know, with IntelliSense and all the rest of that goes along with that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Now let me ask you, though, about business rules, because you know, a lot of people have talked about business rules engines over the years. There's various implementations of like Drools and Drools.net, mm-hmm, and other things. And so we've kind of put business rules. We have the business rules in BizTalk and business rules in Workflow. But a lot of enhancements to business rules in Workflow 4.0. Mm-hmm. What were your impressions of that?
They feel far more integrated into the rest of the workflow. It was kind of odd. There was this, before, there was a rules engine there, and you kind of called out to it, and it did some magical things over here, and then you came back again.
Yeah.
And now it's essentially just like a set of activities in very much. So you've got expressions, you've got activities being executed as a result of those expressions, and the whole thing just feels far more sort of like cleanly just similar to the rest of the model.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now designers for creating rule-based workflows, and there will be designers for creating, you know, decision tables and all sorts of things that you use rules for that we just didn't have available to us before. So if you, and the other thing, I guess, which is hugely powerful about WF4 is that you have the way of saying, well, this bit of my workflow is kind of sequential, and actually this part of it is state machine, so I'd like, so you just embed state machine in there.
Mm.
And actually I need to at this point really be rules governed, and you can embed rules part of the workflow as a rules based section, and there's another part called flowchart, which gives you a much free form. So this is where I want my flow to go, that is, you know, similar to sequential, but allows me to arbitrarily go jump back up into the workflow at points and stuff like that. It's a much more free-form way of creating the workflow. So I've got a number of different models that I can now compose properly together, rather than trying to sort of somehow call out some other workflow which had a different execution model. They're all now completely composable together. And so I think that means that I think rules will become far more used by people writing workflow, because I think they're a lot more accessible now.
Yeah, and I think flowchart is really exciting, because, you know, when you first show people a workflow, they kind of naturally remember flowcharts, and they
Absolutely.
Think, well, I remember drawing those in my programming classes, you know, and then they realize pretty quickly that a sequential workflow is not a flowchart.
It looks like one to start off with, and then it suddenly isn't one. And you think, but I want to go back there. Well, I can't. I have to start again or something. So I think just having that sort of free form, at this point I need to do that piece of the functionality, then maybe I need to go back and do that bit again. And having that sort of freedom is a great execution model.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so what about the Dublin host? Now that's this big new thing that's coming. What were your impressions of that?
On one level, I mean, I think it was fantastic, but I do feel slightly sort of sorry for the Dublin team, because it's virtually invisible that it's there.
Yeah.
There's all this management stuff, and it's almost like you can't quite touch the fact there's this new sort of server environment that is going to be running your code.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, all the rest of the pieces that are like, you know, WebF4 is very visceral, that you've got, you know, sort of dragging and dropping and interacting with all this sort of new designer and that sort of thing, and sort of Oslo is all very sort of like, you know, again, it's very tactile, like you've got all these tools.
Yeah.
And then you've got Dublin, which just kind of sits there in the background making everything happen, but you can kind of sort of see the management side of it. But, I mean, a wonderful... I said, it's you know, it's going to be hard for, you know, they won't get the glory that they should do because of that. But it feels very, very solid.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, I've been working with BizTalk for quite a long time. And when BizTalk 2006 came out and they had the proper management infrastructure on there,
mm-hmm.
I thought, this is fantastic, you know, finally. And suddenly you just realize you've got virtually exactly the same thing inside the IIS manager integration to do have all the same functionality that you have with BizTalk now for Dublin and for your WebF and WCF code. And that is huge.
And this was a, you know, kind of an artifact of bringing the BizTalk team closer with the workflow and the WCF team, you know, so that now borrowing from each other more, and I think that's fantastic. Wow. Well, it's a big day at PDC, of course, when people are learning about this stuff all for the first time. I'm sure you guys are, you know, creating your plans for classes and how you're going to teach it.
It's all mapping out sort of what we're going to have. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff you can see that was coming out in terms of classes for this. It's very exciting times.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Richard, for joining me today.
Cool. Thank you very much.
For Endpoint TV, I'm Ron Jacobs.